So let me explain. People who put lotion on all the time have drier skin than people who don't. Okay, my wife and I are a great example of this. I never use chapstick, and my lips are never chapped. She uses chapstick all the time, and her lips are always chapped. I barely use lotion, and my skin is usually like buttery.
Wow.
I'm serious. Like, I think what happens is, like,
I'm not going to attempt to verify that. You
feel this.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better.
Well, welcome to Take 5 of A Little Better podcast today. We are here. We just enjoyed Easter, incredible celebration here at Northridge Church, and actually a very significant service. And a lot of things were kind of counterintuitive about our Easter this year, but Easter is week one of our brand new series, Questions, Answers, and the Things We'll Never Know. So Drew kicked us off with a question that lots of people are asking about how a loving God can coexist with suffering in our lives. So Drew, in 60 seconds, why don't you bring people up to speed?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw through Lazarus' life that everyone suffers, so we all kind of get this question. We've all been through suffering. But what we see in the story is that Jesus suffered. So he gets, understands, identifies, empathizes with our suffering. And he also kind of gives us a glimpse of he's troubled by where suffering comes from, that ultimately we chose suffering by walking away from God's plan for us. He didn't create a world full of suffering. He created a perfect world and we distorted it, that which brought suffering. And so we heard an amazing story of a family going through suffering. And we just said, God, you know, although we don't like it, he uses our suffering. He redeems it. And, you know, with God, as hard as this might be to understand and hear, that with God, the benefits of suffering outweigh the pain.
Yeah, I think that came up in pre-preach. I'd like to unpack that a little more, but I think the first thing I want to ask is about a 25-minute sermon, but you gave up about half the time to that amazing story.
Yeah.
So with what little time you have, did you leave stuff on the table? Is there more you wish you could have addressed or talked about?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do a series on this one question, and just because suffering is nuanced. And a lot of times how you answer why does God allow suffering depends on the case of suffering you're dealing with. And so there's a lot of nuances to suffering. There's a lot of things I would love to add. I mean, there are books and books on this topic. So yeah, I left a ton on the table, but we do have to get to other questions. But I think from a high level foundational standpoint, we answered the question fairly well.
Jason, what else was kicking around in your mind on this message?
I'm just thinking, I mean, we did a year and a half ago do a 4-week series on suffering. So, you know, we couldn't
we'll put that in the additional.
Yeah, we couldn't solve all those the answers. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter how long your series is, you're never going to fully answer all of the questions. Even the name of our series, what is it? Questions and Answers and the Things We'll Never Know. So we're going to take a crack at it and teach what Scripture says about the topic.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, yeah, so many answers. Sometimes I just am suffering the natural consequences of my own stupidity, right? I mean, God's like, Brad, what else did you expect to happen? Yep. But then there are stories where really you see someone following hard after God and suffering still comes into their life. So let's go back to what was the statement, the benefits
with God, the benefits of suffering are greater than the pain or outweigh the pain.
I know that in pre-preach, we said, boy, does that raise more questions than it answers? Is there, I mean, I guess maybe is what you think about there. I mean, really? I mean, why pain at all? I mean, why not just get straight to the benefits? I guess is what I probably wrestle with.
Well, I mean, I think it's because naturally, even in our sinful nature, we desire ease over hard. And if you honestly look at your life, and if you've lived, you know, anywhere from 20 to 100 years, I would bet money that if you look at your life, the good times and the hard times. I would bet money that the hard times produce the greatest values, the greatest lessons, mm-hmm. the things that ease can't produce. Yeah. And that's true with suffering is no one would choose it. Like I've suffered in my life. I would never choose it. I would never pick it, but dang, has God used it. And I would say every time I suffered, right, from losing my dad, which hurt so bad, but in that suffering, as hard as that pain was, I can see all the benefits, and they do. They outweigh the pain that the suffering produced.
Does it somehow like magnify or show us the goodness of God or the greatness of God or the depth of his love? Mm-hmm. I was thinking through this week, the parable of the two people who are forgiven and one person's forgiven of more, you know, and Jesus says like, who's going to love me more? And the person who's forgiven of more. So when we see the greatest pain or the greatest suffering or the greatest sin, then we see like the greatness of God's love displayed. And maybe we experience it a little bit more deeply when it's contrasted with the bad or the evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very interesting. So first off, I'm going to say this. Like, I know you gave us the sermon in 60, but if you have not seen this sermon, I'd almost just like pause, go back and watch the sermon. And if you don't want to watch the whole sermon, you've got to watch the video of this, of Jess and Keith and Luke's story. You've got, you know, to watch that. And what I was thinking about, okay, first off, it's interesting the way God orchestrates these things, because last week we finished a series on prayer with dangerous prayers. And I was in, I think, three community groups, like got to see discussion about that. I think the consensus, Drew, was you didn't sell the test me prayer real well. You know, it was just like, I would never pray that prayer, you know, because of what it brought. Now, the interesting thing for me was I watched Jess's story, you know, for the first time. Of course, I'm crying. And this actually happened. When it got to the end of that story, I just said, God, test me. For a week, I was not ready to pray that prayer. I was not. And people in our community group are like, I don't want to pray that prayer. I don't want to pray that prayer. But seeing it, because I know that there's something on the other side of suffering that's better than where I am now. She has seen God, like, in a way that I have not. So that story for me made me willing to pray that prayer, you know, test me. So that's, like, what I'm thinking about with those benefits.
Oh, and I think Jess would, you know, I'm friends with Jess and Keith and their family. And I think Jess would tell you that, wow, have I seen the glory of God? Wow, have I seen God's miracles, his provision, like all the ways that God has come through despite the cancer still being there,
right?
Everybody wants, and she even said it in the story, like everybody wants the scan to be clear.
Right.
And yes, do they want that? Of course. Mm-hmm. But if the scan was clear, would they have seen all the ways God was faithful to them?
Right.
All the ways that he's walked and provided for them? And I think you're right. Like there is something significant about suffering where you see God in a different light, where you see, wow, God can use this. God can redeem this. You see the power, the love, the empathy that God has in the midst of that, that you might never see if you walk through just always easy things.
Yeah. Are the wheels turning over there, Jason?
Yeah, I don't know if I have any good thoughts. I'm just thinking of Jesus' statement somewhere in the Gospels talking about the woman who goes through labor, you know, and as painful as that is, in the end, you know, they reap the reward and they forget all of that when they have the baby. And there's the other passage in Scripture, I think, where Paul talks about our present sufferings, like, don't compare to the riches that we'll experience, which is a similar kind of idea.
Right. Yeah. And even Jesus, we're on the same way. Jesus is in the garden begging God for another way. Is there another way besides the cross? But there's not to get to the glory of salvation. I know another pause we had in the pre-preach was over John 11, 25 through 26. You know, you talked, which I'll remind people, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live,
even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I think that's what gave us some pause. Do you believe this? And you ended your sermon with that same question. I love the questions Jesus asks. You know, what do you want? Jesus, you know, do you believe this? And you ended with that. But prior to that, it does seem a little confusing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think if you see what Jesus is really saying, he's pointing to the fact that, you know, hey, we live on this earth and our physical bodies will die. Mm-hmm. But if we choose to believe in Jesus, our souls never die, right? Mm-hmm. We are eternal beings and we live forever. And Jesus is the one who made that possible, right? Mm-hmm. He's the one who paved that way. And the way we get to go that direction is by our belief in him. And mm-hmm. what a beautiful picture of, hey, yeah, suffering is real. And the one thing I don't want people to take away is by no means are we minimizing anyone's suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't want people to hear like, oh, Jesus took away your suffering, but you still have to suffer now. Suffering is hard, mm-hmm. right? It is like some of you listening right now, like I don't want to minimize what you're going through. Suffering is not fun, mm-hmm. but Christ did make a way where mm-hmm. you don't have to do that in eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about that passage, you know, all throughout the Gospel of John, the question keeps coming back to, do you believe, do you believe, do you believe Jesus is doing all these things so that you will believe? But that question, do you believe that you will never die? And I feel like as a Christian, I'm like, okay, I accept Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that. I believe in eternal life. But if you're to look at my daily choices, like, do I really believe that I will never die, that I will have eternal life? And a lot of my choices aren't lived that way. I live for the moment. And so, yeah, embracing suffering now is really hard because yeah. I feel like this is all there is. Like, and if this is all there is, then there's not a whole lot of hope there.
Right. If I believe this, how would I choose differently right mm-hmm. now?
Well, suffering has a way of convincing you that too, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. you can't see past your suffering. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the midst of suffering, it kind of like brings all of life into this focus of suffering. All I can see is my suffering. And that's what makes it hard is you can't see past to like, there is more to mm-hmm. life than just this hardship that I'm facing.
Yeah, that C.S. Lewis quote that you used, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Mm. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Yeah,
that's the C.S. Lewis quote. But it's just, I wish God had a different way to get my attention.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We were talking about this movie yesterday or the day before. It was a movie called Living. I think it got some
it's a wonderful awards, movie. I really like it.
Or was nominated for some awards. But it's a guy face-to-face with like a terminal illness and, you know, then choosing like, what do I want to do with that? And then he kind of has this moment where he flips. And he's been living this whole life as if he's really not alive. And then at the end, he's like more alive than he's ever been because he recognizes the brevity of his time. And I feel like in some ways, recognizing that this world is not all there is, that we do have eternal life, should give us more life in this life to live for eternity.
Yeah. Isn't hell the place we live forever without dealing with our sin? I mean, it's just how else would we even have, you know, care about our sin or see it as a problem or want or thirst for righteousness, you know, without, you know, suffering in this present world. You know, I kind of think of two audiences, you know, for a sermon like this. I mean, many, many Christ followers, you know, gathering here for Easter. And I feel like, you know, we as Christ followers, here's the questions we're asking, you know, we believe, help our unbelief, right? But we also have skeptics, right? And these questions that get asked. There's many people who say, because of suffering, I can't believe in a loving God. And I guess I was just thinking, I don't know. Do you guys have comments on that? I had some thoughts, but I
always think, you know, when someone says that, You know, I think suffering, it points out the need for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, seeing all the suffering in our world is just a picture of how, like, how tainted our world is by sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of the gospel is Jesus came to overcome our sin, right? And suffering is a direct result of that. And so it just, to me, it screams out loud, like, wow, sin is present in our world, mm-hmm. and I can't overcome it, and Jesus would suffer. And any skeptic, man, they struggle with suffering, but it's not like God was void of suffering.
Right.
It's not like he didn't endure it. You know, most gods are sitting on their throne and enjoying the splendor of whatever, picking on people. That's not God. He chose to suffer.
Yeah, we have that lyric keeps going in my head. We sing a song, there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds. And yes, so I, you know, a skeptic might say, well, if God exists, he's to blame for the suffering, right? But we know that God created something perfect that you just, I think, again, you pointed out beautifully in the sermon, that this is what we added to the mix.
Yeah.
You know, John, my favorite John Stott quotes is, the only thing I contribute to my salvation is the sin from which I need to be saved, yeah. right? The only thing I bring to the table is the problem. It's the problem is me, you know, and yes, Adam sinned, but I sinned too, right? Yeah. It's the choices, you know, that I've made. And then the way out of it, you know, that suffering has a purpose. And to think of a world without God, then what purpose could you find for suffering at all?
I mean, it would be pointless. Yeah.
It's pointless.
Where
it's
just, is there hope? There is no meaning to any of our suffering.
And I bring that out, like I try to bring that out in my talk, like, man, poor God, right? God creates a perfect world. We screw it up. We're mad at him because we screwed it up and the consequences of it. He fixes it and we're still mad suffering exists. Like, man, poor God has done everything right and somehow we are still like, man, what's wrong with you for allowing
there
this?
There is a tension, like I feel like you have the question, like either God is all-powerful and not good, because if he's all-powerful, he would do something about that, or God is loving, but he's not all-powerful. But I think through the resurrection, you see that he is all-powerful and he is loving, because he did something that is bringing a permanent end to the suffering. And so when you really sit back to question, like, is God loving? We see the very nature of God and giving his life for us and suffering with us. And so if you want to say, is God good or not? He stepped in your place. He took your place. He suffered for you. That's why we can trust him.
And even in those questions, people try to take a character, like in those questions, they try to steal a characteristic of God that we don't often like to talk about, is his justness, right? So like God can't see sin and not, even if he's all powerful, he is still just. And so in his justness, he has to solve the sin problem, even if, and he does it through his all-powering perfect life in his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But we like to, in those questions, try to like ignore a characteristic of God mm-hmm. and overplaying one.
Yeah. I think skeptics will often, will interpret other people's suffering. Right, they're going to appeal to some other part of the world and say, "Oh, look at the war, the famine, the sex trafficking, the pandemic, you know, whatever," and say, "Therefore, you know, God, you know, God couldn't exist, or he's not loving." But if you go to those places in the world where there is such suffering, you find a lot of faith.
Yeah,
right, and they induce, you know, people in the middle of civil war in Africa would say, don't speak for me. You know, I trust and know God better than ever, you know, yeah. you know, through this. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Jess's story, you know, just she, don't ask Jess to speak for herself. And the conclusions might be different. I do think God though is extremely, willing when we're wrestling with our own suffering. I think crying out to God about that. I think we see that in the Psalms all the time. God, bring your questions about your own suffering to God. Be honest about that with God and wrestle with it. I think God has a lot more patience for us dealing with our own suffering.
Mm. I mean, at some point, that's the point of the suffering, is to go to God with it, right? Mm-hmm. He's drawing you to himself. Mm-hmm. And he does get it. He does understand it. And he lived it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part of our suffering that actually helps us relate better to God, helps us to understand God better, because he gets it as much as we get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you both want to comment on this, but we've talked about, sometimes this talk gets a little academic or whatever, but just circling back, and you know, you got someone like Jess who's living through it, but just practically day to day, what did you find most practical about this teaching for someone who's suffering now? What do you think some of the most practical ways to respond are?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it comes down to that question I talked about earlier, like, what do I believe, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like when my wife's grandmother just passed away, as I get older, now I know, like, my parents are the next generation. So how many years do I have with them? I mean, you experienced your father's death. Like, it seems so final. And then that can just raise this question of, like, seems pointless. Like, we live for so long and then we die, and that's with this whole mindset of this is all there is, you know? So that question of what you truly believe, if you truly believe this is all there is, then there's not a whole lot of hope in that. Mm-hmm. And so coming to the fact, okay, Jesus, if he truly rose from the dead and his resurrection guarantees our future resurrection and eternal life when we believe in him, then it gives me hope. Like, this is not all there is, mm-hmm. and I shouldn't just be living for this moment. And in fact, I should be devoting these, you know, few moments, this vapor of a life, to share eternal life with other people, so they can experience Christ forever.
Mm-hmm. I would think for me, I think practically, you know, if you're suffering, I think, you know, hearing from someone who is suffering, I think, is wise. And I think Chess hit the nail on the head. I mean, when you're suffering, your mind is a dangerous or great thing. And where you allow your mind to go is really important, and what you think about. And Jess says, the nice part is I have that choice. I can choose to think about, you know, hope and peace. I can choose to say, I'm going to take captive my thoughts and not allow them to drag me through the what ifs.
I love the fact that prior to the suffering, Jess and Keith had been memorizing Philippians 4:6 through 10, I believe.
Yep.
But just that God is near was one of the phrases plucked from that. But to have that in your heart before suffering comes is great. And I'd also say, I know that there's often a temptation in suffering to abandon prayer or to abandon scripture. And I think it was Mortimer Adler, you know, How to Read a Book, you know, says that books can be read multiple times as long as you ask different questions. Mm. And I just think to go back to the scriptures, because now you have this, why God, is my child far from God? Why God, is my wife walking through what she's walking through? Whatever it is, you have questions to bring to the scriptures. Mm. And those scriptures will come alive. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you in different ways from things maybe you've read 1,000 times, but now the suffering. And same with prayer. I just think God's okay with you yelling at him. Yeah. He would rather you yelled at him than were silent. Saying, but to just
we can also isolate, in our suffering, which is, you know, not the way to get through it. I mean, that's why you mentioned, like, we're here for you as a church. And I think of, is it 2 Corinthians, that, you know, when we're comforted by God, then we can share that comfort with other people, the God of all comfort. And so we should be connecting with other people who can share similar experiences as us.
Yeah, I think that's the danger of your mind, right? Your mind tells you no one cares. Your mind tells you no one gets me. Your mind tells me no one's been what I've been through, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you choose to believe that, you're just going to live in a lonely place. It's going to isolate you. But if you choose to say, no, people do care for me. People want to walk through this with me. God is here for me. It changes the perspective you have. Mm-hmm. It literally brings light to the darkness.
Yeah. And even if that were true, which it's not, even if that were true, Jesus does
get it.
He's walked through it too. Well, listen, I hope you found this series encouraging, this message encouraging, that really Easter, the resurrection, that's the hope when we endure suffering, to know that incredible suffering of our Savior led to such a glorious outcome and our salvation. Well, we've got four more questions to ask and answer and wrestle with. I do hope you keep coming back for questions, answers, and the things we'll never know.